May 2nd, 2019, it's a Lot for Pedro show.
guess I'll see you around. Maybe the next time you come into town. It was nice just to spend some time with you. It's been a while since you came round. Do you still have my shirt? The one with faded letters that didn't quite fit. You used to wear it when we went to bed, and I watched you fall asleep in it. Watch you fall asleep. Oh, I'd watch you fall. Guess I'll eventually forget the way I hated when you smelled like cigarettes. How you apologized and brushed your teeth so you could kiss me before we fell asleep. Oh, I'd watch you fall. I guess I'll see you again. Maybe someday, I don't know when. When I do, I won't recognize you as the person I knew then. You better catch your train. Take my umbrella in case it starts to rain. The way when we lay in bed and we fall asleep to it.
Watford Pedro Show. You just heard my guest, Brother Matt, come back from his vacation. I think he's resting up from that, the Lewis and Clark reenactment. But the magic of Skype and those software engineers in Estonia. I got Gabby Alter here. Where were you talking to me from, Gabby?
I am talking to you from Brooklyn, New York.
Brooklyn. in New York City. Okay. Yeah. And I want to say thanks for being on the show. And by the way, we started the show off with Mr. Knight from John Coltrane. And then from your new EP, a tune called Falls. You fall off your chair there? Fall asleep.
Fall asleep.
Fall asleep. And actually, the project name is Yes, Gabriel.
That's it.
Gabby, you're on.
Yeah.
Earliest musical recollection, please.
It was probably Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat. I remember being really into that album when I was a kid. Because we had it, and I love those songs by Andrew Lloyd Webber, which is, it's weird because I didn't grow up thinking I was going to write musicals, but I did really like that album. So.
Yeah, no, this was a soundtrack to a theater production, right?
Yeah, this was, it was the musical that Andrew Lloyd Webber wrote before he wrote Jesus Christ Superstar.
But
and it's really...
Didn't he write Hair?
No, that was Galt McDermott and another guy.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not too hip on some of that stuff there. But I remember around the same time. I think one of the Deep Purple singers sang Jesus Christ Superstar.
Uh-huh.
Ian Gillan.
Right.
I think Ian Gillan. But he wouldn't tour it or something like that. So... Mm-hmm. What you remember early with music was record in your house. Now, did other people play, or were they just listeners, like your ma, your pa, your sisters, brothers?
That's a good question. I think nobody played, but I'm a little bit hazy on that. I think my mom might have played when she was younger.
Okay, but there was no
piano.
There was no instruments in the pad where you grew up.
Well, actually, at some point, I think we did get an upright piano and the way I know that is that I remembered, figuring out how to play some of the melodies from Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat on the piano.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we must have had a piano.
So you didn't, autodidact, you didn't have a teacher.
Well, that was just in the beginning. I mean, I think I was autodidactic for a little bit, and then my mom said, you have to take an instrument, and how about the piano? And I said, okay, because I, you know, was kind of into it already. And, and so then I started taking lessons, and
now,
I took them for about 10
years. How was that experience? Because I've had all kinds of people on the show have all kinds of experiences with piano teachers. Some are good.
Yeah.
Some almost drove people away from music.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
What was your experience, Gabby?
Well, by the way, it's Gabby, which I'm sorry to correct you. It's nobody can figure out how to pronounce
That's
it from the way it's
spelled.
That's
short for Gabriel, right?
That's right. It's short for Gabriel.
So that's
but it's pronounced Gabby. It's a Hebrew name.
Gabby. Well, my name too, Michael, right? In fact, I got two big Jewish names, Michael and David.
Oh, you do?
Well, my mother's, her favorite brothers on each side of the family. One was Michael, one's David. So,
That's Gabby, yeah. It's Gabby.
Okay, I'll say Gabby. Oh, for sure.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay,
yeah.
I won't fuck up anymore. I'm so sorry.
No, that's okay.
But let's get back on this.
So, okay. So
experience. I'm looking for the experience with the piano teacher.
Yeah, you know, the first lesson that I had, I remember two things. I remember I actually wasn't that excited to do them. I think I felt like my mom had sort of tricked me into agreeing to do them because I liked messing around on the piano, but I was not that fond of the idea of doing more work. Like, you know, doing another school-like thing.
You mean rudiments?
Like what?
Rudiments. Am I pronouncing that wrong, too?
I don't know.
The building blocks to getting it going or something.
Yeah, exactly. No, exactly. I mean, and that's the thing is that I think it wasn't that I even objected to that. It was just like I somehow didn't wasn't that into the idea of doing another learning thing with an adult, probably. I just wanted to do stuff on my own that wasn't school. But my teacher was actually not bad. She wasn't mean. And I did find that, I was already kind of interested in music, so, and I wasn't, it wasn't super difficult, some of it. So I didn't love it, but it wasn't a terrible experience either.
Okay, so kind of middling.
Yeah, kind of middling.
Well, here's an example, like with guitar. I don't want to learn all these rudiments. I want to learn how to play this particular song. I mean, I've heard that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what about, that's your home thing. What about at school? Were you in the band? Were you in the choir? A marching band?
Well, we didn't have that. I mean, actually, my high school, before high school, I went to this Jewish high school, and we did a lot of singing. You know, that was, it was not that religious, but there were a lot of, like, there was, like, a good morning prayer, and there was a, we'd say something, I think, before we ate lunch, and, you know, if there were holidays, we would do singing. So there was basically a lot of singing threaded into the education, and I remember I liked that. I had a teacher, my first teacher was awesome, Allison Kent Weiss, and she had a guitar, she had an acoustic guitar, and she would sing and play the guitar, and I really loved that. I liked singing. So there was no kind of formal organization. It was just what we were doing, you know, in the school. But then, when I got a little older, I was in the school musicals, which were, you know, kind of small affairs, because it was not a big school. But I then got to play, you know, different characters and sing, and I like that too. I thought it was fun. I didn't think of myself as a singer, but I think I just like to be in front of audiences.
What about the first record you bought yourself?
Oh, that's such a good question. It's so hard to remember. Like,
I mean, it's kind of hard to have a wrong answer.
Well, I know, but the problem is
don't remember that good, then you just don't. It's okay. I'm just curious.
Yeah. Well, I remember really distinctly there was like a cluster of things that I got around, but probably Run DMC was one of the first. I think I got that album, and I was really into it. I think, unless it was the Fat Boys. Could have been one of those albums.
New York City rap. Okay. But what about first gig you went to?
I didn't go see, like, live rock or pop music very much growing up. But somebody, like a group of kids and their parents, went to the Amnesty Tour, which was, like, Sting and Peter Gabriel and Tracy Chapman and Bruce Springsteen. So it was kind of a crazy gig or crazy concert. You know, it was like all these superstar 80s musicians, and I just remember they were all really good.
Where was it at?
I don't remember. It was some stadium in the Bay Area.
Whoa.
You know, something.
San Francisco?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
I thought we were talking. Nowadays you're in Brooklyn. The earlier days, you were in the Bay Area. Okay.
Exactly.
I'm working on the mind reading, Gabby. You still got to use some words because.
Sorry.
Okay, so the Bay Area. I mean, there's a lot of music going on there. That's a trip.
Yeah. Right. And I know. I mean, it's funny. I think I saw. And when I was growing up, there was like Green Day, was still not famous. Like they were around.
East Bay.
But not famous. Yeah, and the East Bay, Jawbreaker.
Gilman Street.
That's right, Gilman Street, which I went to once, and I don't remember. I don't even know if I saw a band there. It might have just been like a rave or something at Gilman Street. Okay. What's weird is that I was really out of the punk scene. Like, that punk scene was really strong, as you know.
Sure.
What's that?
I think that's okay. Yeah. Everybody, I think, has their own journey through music, you know, and that's why I like to talk to people about it on the show.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. It's like each, yeah.
You know, I mean, nobody has, I've been doing
the same, yeah.
This month, I think next week will be 18 years I've been doing the show, and no two journeys have been the same.
Yeah, that's very cool.
I want to play Rains of April, even though we just started May.
Taxi. Crossing the Brooklyn Bridge after midnight with your arms around me. But the greatest love is in memories, and you know those are unreliable. Faces rushing past, just a blur now in the back of a photo.
Dictionary love song. You and me, baby. Blah, blah, blah. E-T. Where you find the morning? Where you find the morning?
rencontrer la mort. Tu te prends pour qui? Toi aussi, tu détestes toute la vie.
Thank you. crud to redirect the blood. Remember old self to rectify good health. Stop being determined to be terminal and alone. The sun is more radiant.
I was in a fortress in the heart of Antarctica, underneath a glacier. I made sure nobody ever saw, but somehow you found me. I don't know how, but you tracked me down. You put your arms around me. Pulled me up from underground. You are the wind I could not win against. You are the storm that broke down my best defense. Oh, my heart was barricaded. Got through. You started a fire, and it melted all the ice within me. But as the temperature rose higher, it ate up all the oxygen. So I started running. It seemed like the only thing that I could do. But everywhere the wind I could not win against. You are the storm that broke down my best defense. Oh, my heart was barricaded. Nothing could invade it. Nowhere to break into. But you got through. I don't think about you at all. I wonder if you've changed. If I wouldn't recognize you anymore. All that I have left now are jagged shards of your memory. Still I try to piece them together into who you were when you were with me. You are the wind. You got through. You are the wind I could not win against. guy through.
Well, for Pedro Show, we had Gabi with Rain's April, Yes Gabriel, the Proj, new EP. Then Mako Fumi with Moink, Stephanopoulia, my Sonio de Mainayo bandmate, with his new solo album, and tune Serena from, I should say Serena. I'm mispronouncing everything. Wait till I get to the Serbo-Croatians. Howie Reeve with Paul McCani. Lauren Hex. Maybe I got that right. Tav Falco with Strange. The Healers with Drain. And You Got Through from Yes Gabriel. Gabi. Alter. So, you were slow coming into, like, yeah, organized music scene. And it looks like the main conduit was theater.
Yes.
Now, a lot of these theater productions, they didn't have a live band, right? There'd be, like, records or tape or stuff.
Well, actually, you know, so that's not quite what happened. So in high school, I did get into the jazz band because I went to Berkeley High.
Okay.
And Berkeley High, like, when I was a freshman, I didn't know anything about jazz, but there was this thing called Jazz Lab, and I went in and I heard the guys who were in the actual band playing, and it was just like, oh my God, these people are so cool. Like, this music is so fun. Like, they were playing Headhunters by Herbie Hancock, and Joyce Spring, and it was just like, this shit was killing, and I was like, oh, I gotta be in this band. So I started learning jazz in high school, and I eventually was in the jazz band.
Piano?
Sorry, go ahead. Yeah, on piano, yeah. I didn't play any other instruments, but at the same time, I also started being in this rock band with some people called Dorothy's Not Home, and we were kind of fun. We were like a garage funk band. We were really into James Brown and, I don't know, and the Red Hot Chili Peppers and some other shit that was popular, and it was really fun, kind of stressful, but fun. And we would play gigs, and I felt like there really weren't that many bands in our high school. Like, we were the only one that I knew about, and so people were pretty excited that we existed.
Then what was the theater stuff you were talking about?
Well, yeah, so at the same time, like, the theater stuff came actually after high school, and it happened because I had been in the garage band, or whatever it was, the garage funk band, and my friend who had written plays at Berkeley High, and he wanted to write a musical. He wanted to write a rock musical. So he said, "Do you want to write this with me?" And I said, "Yeah." And so we put it on, and it was kind of like the same, you know, do-it-yourself ethos as the band, but now we had some of the people in the band as the pit band, and then some other friends who were in the drama department were the actors, and you know, we were trying to kind of keep up our connections after high school, and so we performed this at this theater called The Subterranean, which is under a pizzeria in Berkeley, and still there, still a functioning theater. And that's kind of how we just kept doing that. Like, every summer or every other summer, I'd come back from college, and we would do another production, and that just kept going.
And, when you say write, what do you mean? You came up with the words, libretto or something?
Yeah, well, we just wrote the whole thing ourselves. I did not come up with the libretto. I would write the music, and then, I don't know, I think we kind of split up the words. Like, sometimes we'd write songs together, and we'd finish each other's songs. Sometimes he just gave me a lyric, and I would set it. Occasionally, I would just write a lyric.
Well, these things were stories, right?
So Yeah, these were like,
based around some kind of thought, a plot, some kind of story.
Absolutely. Yeah, we would do, like, the first one was about, we wrote this, you know, 93, but it was about a world where everyone was hooked up to virtual reality. It was basically like a Matrix-style plot. And And, but then somebody, you know, everyone's basically like powerless and being controlled through their virtual reality machines. And then somebody comes from the past into the future to liberate them. So I guess it's a little like the Terminator in reverse or something, but very like, you know, kind of like pop culture-y plots. And we were super young, so that's what we were into. And, so I would write songs that were kind of in a bunch of different pop styles.
And then when it was performed, would you be there with the piano playing these things where they were acting?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I was the band leader. I would play keyboard since there was no piano in there. But I would also usually have a small role in the shows. Like, I think one of the shows I was like the mad professor. You know, like I could do comedic roles. I couldn't really do serious stuff, but I was good at spazzing. So I would do kind of a spazzy role.
You get up from the keyboard and do a spazzy role and then get back on.
Yeah. Okay. Exactly. It was real, real DIY.
It kind of, what you call non sequitur, right?
Right.
It's like on the talk shows when they're the talk show host, he raps with the guy in the band, right?
Yes.
Break the fourth wall kind of thing. And did you record with that Dorothy band?
You know, we did. I mean, we made 4-track recordings. That's how long ago it was. There was no, like, digital shit. And we also we didn't go to a studio. But, yeah, we made 4-track recordings, or my friend did, and he has them somewhere. I don't know where they are, but he probably has them on a hard drive.
But you like, you made cassettes and gave to your friends and stuff.
I guess we did. Yeah, I mean, I don't remember selling cassettes, but we probably passed those songs around to people, yeah.
And what was the band? Oh, Dorothy?
It was called Dorothy's Not Home.
Oh, Dorothy's and Not Home, that's it.
It was because we went to somebody's house named Dorothy, and we were supposed to rehearse there, and she wasn't there, so we were locked out, and that was the end of the rehearsal.
So let's name the band this.
Yeah. Very specific.
And you guys just played the band and you didn't tour around or anything?
No, I mean, basically we played during high school at a couple of, maybe like 3 or 4 parties. And we played one party that was like, it was in the theater that later we would do the musical in.
Under the pizzeria?
Yeah, exactly, under the pizzeria. Actually, we played there twice. Our first gig was there, and basically our last gig was there, which was the night, I don't remember, it wasn't the night of the graduation. I think it was like a few days after my class graduated, and we had this final, like, Dorothy's Not Home, it's the last concert, and people were crazy there. You know what I mean? Like, the energy was probably more intense than any concert I've played since then.
It was so great. You had looped it because you... From where you started, you ended.
Exactly, exactly. And everyone was like, you know, we're graduating. We're, you know, I don't know. People were crazy. But so I think that in a way, the musical, which we did the following year, the first musical was kind of like trying to capture some of that energy or keep it going, because we never played again as a band, really.
But lots of the guys in the band was in the theater.
Yeah, pretty much almost everybody. Yep.
Well, that's neat that you could be united that way, through different forms of expression, but still buddies.
Yeah, totally. And the thing was that some of the people, like our bass player in the band, actually ended up being like the leading man in the musical, because he was a really good actor and singer and bass player. So I think he did not play bass in the band because he had to, you know, be on stage too much of the time. So we got another guy to play bass for that gig, and the singer in the band, who was also doing a bunch of the drama stuff in high school, she was like the villain. So they were basically like the two stars of the show.
Right. We're at the end of the first hour, May 2nd, 2019 edition, Wat Peter's show, special guest Gabby from Brooklyn. Hold for hour two. May 2nd, 2019, it's the second hour of the Wat for Pedro show. Mm-hmm.
The night I met you, we boarded a subway train. 20-minute ride to the place where you were staying. You leaned in close, your face next to mine. Your breath was warm, smelled like smoke and wine. Battery Park, a building made of glass. We rode up in the elevator so fast. I didn't realize how far you would take me. But a night has consequences you can't foresee. You will be always dear to me. You will be always dear. You will be always dear to me. You will be always dear. One night turned to three, turned to four. You left your feather earring on my floor. You had strands of your hair hidden in my bed. On my pillow, the shape of your head. Still I thought I was only passing through. The tourists taking pictures of the view. And when I said goodbye, it felt like I was free. But the nights have consequences you can't foresee. You will be always dear to me. You will be always dear. You will be always dear to me. You will be always dear. Some it goes slow. The rain goes pouring down, down. Some it I know. I let you go. Westbound plane. Said you couldn't take a New York winter again. I turned the covers over, ready to start anew. I didn't realize the thing my heart would do. Cause you left your feather earring in my bed. And on my pillow, the shape of your head. I didn't realize how far you've taken me. But love has consequences you can't foresee. You will be always dear to me. You will be always dear.
Thank you.
wake up and the sheets are freezing. People on the subway sneezing. Sun comes out, it's only teasing. Deep in February, the air you breathe, it looks like thick smoke. You break the ice, but the ice pick broke. Valentine's Day's just a sick joke. Deep in February, waiting on an email, waiting on a phone call, waiting out the long haul in the dead of winter. Groundhog came and went back under, promising more rain and thunder. No new songs by Stevie Wonder. Deep in February, 0 Celsius made the sign crack. Lost my glove on the 1 and 9 track. Lost your heart, I can't get mine back. Deep in February, waiting on an email, waiting on a phone call, waiting out the long haul in the dead of winter. Dirty snowdrift, muddy runoff, dark gray clouds have cut the sun off. Doing errands, putting one off, deep in February. 6 weeks now since you've departed, trying to get the motor started. I hope you're just as broken-hearted, deep in February. Waiting on an email, waiting on a phone call, waiting out the long haul in the dead of winter. Waiting on an email, waiting on a phone call, waiting out the long haul in the dead.
Live from Pedro Show. We started off with Yes, Gabriel Has Got Me Doing Dear to Me, and then Barry Berko Band, Tel Aviv, with Malachi, probably fucked that up too. A Natural Ways, that's Ava Mendoza, got to play with her last month. Mike Baghetta, Steve Hodges. It used to be called Brownies. I think they call it Oh, they do. It's after a Lou Reed album. Coney Island Baby. Yeah. Coney Island Baby. Deep in February after that. Yes. Gabriel. So tell me about this EP.
Well, this EP actually came about because I had always wanted to do my own album. And I had recorded, I guess, a couple of different cast albums, like songs from our shows, our musicals. I had recorded a bunch with my friend Damien on his projects. He's like a nerdcore rapper, and so he does hip-hop records, and I would do the keyboards for him. But I'd never done my own record, and I really wanted to do that, and so I did. It just took me like 6 or 7 years, very slowly.
So you mean between Dorothy's Not Home and then doing these plays and stuff, you wanted to make your own record after kind of being kind of side. You wanted to be,
I loved the stuff I loved growing up was like, you know, the Beatles, Prince, Neil Young, Joni Mitchell, Randy Newman, just people that were like, had these great albums, and I was like, oh, I want to do that. But I don't know, somehow doing stuff on my own took a really long time. I think I prefer to collaborate with people more. But then I got to a point in my life where, I don't know, I guess I had built up some skills like doing home recordings, and I had a group, I sort of, over time, like this group of songs evolved that was about this relationship I had 10 years ago, and that was hard to get out of my system, and so I think the songs helped to do that. Like a lot of albums, I guess.
Deep in February.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this next thing I want to play, it's called Emerald Green Productions. And what's that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the name of the theater group that me and my friends were in. My friends and I.
And this tune, Life Ahead of Us.
Yeah, and this song, so I wrote this song with Damien, who's the rapper.
Sure.
And we did, this was a musical, actually, Jesus, it was like 20 years, well, we started writing it 20 years ago, but it's called Young Zombies in Love, and it's basically a story about a guy, like, high school sweethearts, and then there's a zombie epidemic, and the guy is killed, so he becomes a zombie, and then he's too cool for his girlfriend, sort of like in the movie Grease. And then, but they eventually work it out and have a live slash undead relationship. It's pretty funny. It's a little dark.
Okay.
But anyway, this is the first song.
Thank you. you can do. I have the stomach for it, but I'm not so arrogant. Some stupid tragic. Don't be so sad. I need a real tragedy.
My heart.
but you got through.
Life for Pedro Show.
Yeah.
Yeah, life ahead of us. The zombie romance. Where the lady is the stronger side, right? And then after that, we had from Barcelona, Blood Quartet with Surfing Rihanna. Excuse me. Okay. Trobikova Krishna Pesci with Alita. And Snake from Sazer Bitter Lemon. I think it's Bitter Lemon. You know, just slab way of saying it. Guided by Voices, Jam War Song. That was the most hilarious title, Jam War Song. And Red Mass, Montreal with Something Horrible. And here's a demo that you did for You Got Through, which is a song on your new EP.
Yes.
But I guess this was an earlier incarnation. Like you said, you were working on this stuff for like, what, 7 years?
Yeah, something embarrassing, yeah. But this, it's kind of interesting to hear this one. Like, I wrote You Got Through, and it was actually, a different version that I didn't give you. But this one happened a couple years after I wrote the first version, and I was like, I liked it, but I was like, this version is way too sort of like techno-pop for my album, which seems to be evolving more towards a folk kind of album. So, yeah, that's why I didn't use it.
What's techno-pop? Like Pink? Madonna?
Man, I don't even know. I kind of lost track of genres. Techno-pop is something you probably see in the 90s. I don't know what... Like, I feel like this track is sort of like, it's more like electronically based pop. Like, there seems like there's some dubstep in it a little bit. I don't know. Who knows?
A lot of those genre things really, I mean, you see it even in hardcore. There's a kind called power violence. Yeah. I remember Pear once telling me about, because you said dub or something, dubstep. Chill. I was asking Per about this singer, Porno for Pyros, and he said, "Mike, it's about the beats per minute. That's how you can tell what genre it is." But I think at the end of the day, I might be wrong, but maybe music's music. I'm sorry, Gabby.
Oh, I was just going to say, I mean, people seem to find these distinctions. Some people find that, especially younger people, find them incredibly important. And I, even though it's this thing that's constantly evolving, but I don't know how people think of it now. I think people, it's sort of like, oh, I'd listen to that, but I'd never listen to that. It's like who you are or something. I don't know.
They identify with a genre.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if people do, how much they do that anymore, though. I mean, it's like, it's a whole different thing now.
Like, what was that? Like, the Pete Townsend wrote that thing about the mods and the rockers and fighting at Brighton Beach and scooters versus motorcycles, leather coats versus trench coats. Yeah, I mean, you know what I mean? It gets away from kind of what is music, which is melodies and words and rhythms and feelings and. It seems like the genre thing was just some kind of gimmick for marketing guys to make their jobs easier. But you're right. I think maybe young people are more prone to it. They use it for a form of identity.
Yeah.
But man, it starts limiting stuff, don't you think?
I do. And, I feel kind of, I feel fortunate that, I grew up in the Bay Area, and I was exposed to a lot of stuff, and I think a lot of people are like this, where I got mixtapes, and I like different stuff. I didn't just like one genre. I thought it was really cool to like a lot of different genres, and so that's sort of what led me to writing musicals, I think, because you can write a lot of different genres in one piece. You don't have to limit yourself.
And in fact, as part of the vocabulary, you can change the mood, right? And
the whole kind of thing to just bring in.
Yeah, without having a wide palette, it can get kind of narrow. There was a band from the city from the late 60s called Sly Stone, Sly and the Family Stone. And he would put all kinds of different stuff in his music, right?
Yeah, and totally. He was like one of the first guys to really just put it all. I don't know. He was great. He was amazing.
No, but there's an important lesson in that band. The way they still had an identity. So it wasn't like so like polyglot Cosmo that they were just all blurry. They definitely had a thing, but it's kind of like writing an original novel and not inventing one word. It's still very original. Even though, in fact, if you start inventing words, you know, like Finnegan's Wake, it's kind of hard to read.
Right.
I think, in a way, it's a little better than the older days. I think it was more closed. But it's still, we got to get past this thing of uniforms and genre, you know, labels and things like this.
That's right.
And maybe the theater guys can do that, or movie guys, because right away you guys are already blending all kinds of motifs anyway. It's not just audio, right? It's visual, and it's very interesting about that. To me, all the arts are valid. I don't really see one really being superior to another. All forms of expression I find interesting. It's, I guess, the way they do it. Whether I like it
right.
And then maybe down the road I change my mind, you know, because the whole thing is just so fluid, and we get so caught up in all this thick stuff. It's kind of hilarious in a way. So thank you for doing what you do. We're at the end of the second hour on May 2nd, 2019 edition of Watt Pedro Show. Special guest Gabby from Brooklyn. Hold tight for hour three. May 2nd, 2019, it's the third hour of the Watt for Pedro Show.
Ooh, child, things are gonna get easier. Ooh, child, things are getting brighter. Ooh, child, things are gonna get easier. Things are getting brighter. Someday, we'll put it together and we'll get it all done. Someday, your head is much lighter. Someday, we'll walk in the rays of a beautiful sun. Someday, when the world is much brighter.
You wake up and the sheets are freezing. People on the subway sneezing. Sun comes out, it's only teasing. Deep in February, the air you breathe, it looks like thick smoke. You'd break the ice, but the ice pick broke. Valentine's Day is just a sick joke. Deep in February, waiting on an email, waiting on a phone call, waiting out the long haul in the dead of winter. Groundhog came and went back under, promising more rain and thunder. No new songs by Stevie Wonder. Deep in February, zero cells just made the sign crack. Lost my glove on the 1 and 9 track. Lost your heart, I can't get mine back. Deep in February, waiting on an email, waiting on a phone call, waiting out the long haul in the dead of winter. Oh, back in the fall, you used to love me. Clouds have cut the sun off. Doing errands, putting one off. Deep in February, 6 weeks now since you've departed. Trying to get the motor started. I hope you're just as broken hearted. Deep in February,
from Peter Show. And I was off air with Gabby here, misremembering, wrong remembering everything. We Uchild started off third hour. Yes, Gabriel. And yeah, the name of the project, it was like, yeah, this is my record.
Yeah, basically.
Okay. It's a good one. Then we had from South London, Crushed by Pimps with Large Windmill Impregnated and Running on Ball Barons. That's a two. Kress from Orthodox Spain after that. And Gabby Alter with Deep in February. Now, here's the demo, another one from the EP, but an earlier version, like from 12 years ago.
Yeah, that was, because I wrote it. I wrote Deep in February in 2005. Mm-hmm. So, really, it was like 14 years, but this guy, I wrote it when I was at NYU, and there was another guy in my musical theater writing program named Sean Keough, who's really amazing singer and songwriter. So he just did a cover, like he just whipped it out one day and covered my song. It was like the best thing ever. I mean, I don't think my version is as good as his version. At a certain point, he's just a better singer.
How'd you hear it? Did you play it for him? Or?
Yeah, I mean, we were in the same class, songwriting class, and I brought it in one day, and I had just been having this, like, sad time with this woman. So I wrote that song, and because the assignment was to write a song about February. So people brought in different songs about February. I was like, well, I'm just going to write about how I feel really bad right now because I miss this woman. And
February, that's the Valentine month, right?
That's right. It turned out to be the Valentine month. So it was great. It was like, I basically just drew on all, I was like, okay, images that you could associate with February. Like, I wasn't really drawing on life, but I kind of, you know, just threw out a bunch of specific images that happened in February and in New York. And so he heard it, and then I don't know when, but he was like, hey, I came up with a version. I was like, oh, okay. And we recorded it and like in a room with a piano.
Yeah.
And people love that version. I mean, I think it's really amazing what he did.
I want to play this song Laura Called.
Oh, yeah.
You want to say anything about that? Is that...
Well, it's just yet another woman that I
was going to say. Well,
could not have, yeah.
So no, music is a good way for you to deal with these issues. I think it's great. You don't have to pretend.
Exactly. It's like you finally have the person in the room with you, you know, just listening to you. So talk to them. But no, Laura was somebody I was in love with in college, but she got in touch with me when I moved to New York, and I hadn't talked to her in a long time. So the song is really just literally, I'm very literal in a lot of my songs. It was like, well, she just called me. Like, I wonder why. Like, I didn't think she was still in love with me. I was pretty sure about that. But, you know, but there's some kind of crazy part of yourself that's like, oh, maybe, like, this romance can finally happen. And it didn't, which is good because, you know, it didn't. It was never going to happen. I just was, like, the wrong person for her. But she's a really great person. So we actually ended up, you know, just reconnecting in a nice way and nothing. You know, but that was, like, before. I wrote this song before Bad It All Happened.
The prequel.
Yeah, exactly. The prequel.
Sam. She's going to make the whole ship fly!
First, the Tower of London, arr! The guards won't know what hit it. We'll swoop right down and take the crown, and the crown just win it.
And when we fly to Paris, all the treasures I'll be grabbing. The Mona Lisa will look lovely hanging in the cabin.
Hey-ho, imagine the places that we'll go.
No one can stop us when we're so high in the stratosphere.
Hey-ho, we'll be the freighter that thunders every one of the world's seven wonders when we're up in the sky.
But who can fight a frigate that flies?
No one can fight a frigate that flies.
Next we'll roam to Rome, me lads, and here's what I'll be stealing. I'll rob the Sistine Chapel of the Sistine Chapel stealing.
And for all the folks in Egypt, it will be a dismal day.
You'll be crying for their money.
Well, we'll take their money away.
Hey-ho, imagine the places that we'll go. No one can stop us when we're so high.
They will all cower in fear.
Hey-ho, from Delhi to Rio to Venice. There's no city that we will not menace when we're up in the sky.
For who can fight the frigate that flies?
No one can fight a frigate that flies.
Oh, how high we will be. 'Cause the blue fairy dust surely packs the mighty wallop. Soon it will set us free. From the chains of gravity. Then we'll hoist up the sail. And we'll set course for the sun. 'Cause when you've got wings, no wicked deed cannot be done.
And we owe it all to our great and glorious captain.
Also, now that you mention it, why are we taking orders from some fairy anyway? At 2, 3, 4.
Hey-ho, imagine the places that we'll go. No one can stop us when we're so high.
Even a pirate.
Hey-ho, we'll be the freighter that thunders every one of the world's seven wonders when we're up in the sky. For who can buy the frigate that flies? Hey-ho, there's not a town or a county that will not yield its bounty up when the ship goes near. Hey-ho, there's not a city or village that we will not plunder or pillage when we're up in the sky. For who can buy the frigate that flies? And every nation will live on the
Why, for Pedro's show, last music for this edition. Lyra called Gabby Alter. Then National Debt with Free Fall out of Idaho. You the pimp. The Frigate That Flies, Tom Hiddleston and Company. Please explain there, Gabby.
Well, so I wrote a musical with my friend Edamar Moses called Nobody Loves You, which is about a reality TV show that is sort of based on The Bachelor and Survivor combined or something like that. I mean, it's just imagine, if you will, you know, it's like everyone lives in a house, and at the end of the week, if nobody loves you, you have to leave the house. So,
I have my eyes glued to that.
Yeah, exactly.
Hockey stick can pry me away.
Can't wait to find out how he gets voted off.
Well, but who's Tom Hiddleston?
Yeah, so Tom Hiddleston actually is the guy in the Avengers. I don't know if he's in the last one, but he plays Loki.
Oh,
he's like
actor?
The villain.
Okay, you know? Okay. He's an actor. I'm sorry. No offense. Yeah, Tom Hiddleston.
That's good. But so Edamar and I were like, somehow we wrote this musical, and then a guy from Disney Theatrical saw it, and then he referred us to somebody in their animation division who was looking for a song for a Tinkerbell movie called Tinkerbell and the Pirate Fairy. And that series, I think, may have ended after we wrote that song for that movie. They had like a few of them, and they were very popular, but then I think that animation studio closed. But luckily we got in our one song, and it, you know, it's been disseminated all over the world because it's Disney, right? Like there's a video on YouTube of the song being sung in like 40 different languages. Like, just explains how crazy Disney is. But, it's a song that, I mean, it's sung by, I guess, the pirates. Like, the plot is it's a prequel to the Peter Pan story, in which the pirates have, like, gotten this rogue fairy to give them fairy dust, and then they can use that to power their ship to fly to the various places in the world and, like, steal things because they're pirates. And so we wrote that song, which was really fun to write. And then Tom Hiddleston sang the bridge. So that's my, you know, main claim to fame as far as famous people singing my song.
Well, that's just for now. We don't know what the future holds for you. In fact,
that's right.
Gabby, what about the future? What you got planned?
Yeah. Well, you know, no. I mean, I'm actually, my plans right now are to do some more musicals because I have been away from that more or less for a few years. And there are a few projects now that I'm trying to, like, get pushed out into the water and start writing. So I suspect that will – something is going to start soon. One of these projects, I feel – I mean, I don't want to jinx it, but I'm just playing by the numbers. I feel like, well, I'm trying to do three or four, so hopefully one of those will, you know, actually happen. And we're trying to get Nobody Loves You to come back. It was off-Broadway a long time ago, like 6 years ago, and we're trying to bring it back into theaters, so hopefully that will happen. And then I'll play some shows as Yes Gabriel. You know, I'll do an album release party or two, and maybe I'll do a small tour. I've been on tour with Damien, with my friend, the rapper, and so I don't know that touring life is for me, but I certainly wouldn't mind playing some shows, you know, just to, like, I have played shows with a band called Yes Gabriel, and we will do some more in the future. I think it's, you know, that's the way a lot of people connect to music, so.
Gotti, where can people find out about you on the internet?
You can go to yesgabriel.com. You can also...
Spell that out. Y-E-S?
Yeah, Y-E-S-G-A-B-R-I-E-L. Yeah, that's the main place. I mean, you can also go to...
Instant Ham. Yeah. But I'm so glad you got your own site, because that's like your own fanzine. There's no middle. Yeah, there's no filter.
That's right. Yeah, no corporate filter.
Yeah, or any kind of filter, even a hipster filter. Yeah. It's you. You know, the same ethics from the old days of the movement, the fanzine, right? But maybe even more people can check it out. You don't have to pay the guy at Kinko's. You got to pay your web ISP guy.
That's right.
But, man, it's been a real pleasure to have you aboard. And it's interesting how you used your theater life and your music. Grateful for your piano teacher all these years, because you're still using the piano.
That's right. Yeah, I am grateful.
Big time. She's good. So a positive episode in your life. And, I like to hear that. I don't like to always hear the negative piano lesson story, but, you know, sometimes they're there. Sometimes, though, they prod people into going in other directions that are very interesting, too. But thanks for sharing with us about your journey with the music. And, like I said, big honor to have you. I love the idea, too, of cross whatever pollinator, you know, it's not just the same old. You know, you got a rapper friend you might play some gigs with, maybe touring life ain't for you. Obviously, a theater thing. You know, they tour, too, sometimes, right? They put on those plays and they go around from towns to towns.
That's right.
That was more of a vaudeville thing. So I think I kind of ended up with that tradition more. But still, it's righteous. And I really thank you for spending some time and talking and getting to play your music for people.
Okay? Well, thank you very much.
Okay, and when you come up with your next thing, please get a hold of me.
Okay, I will.
Thanks, Gabby.
Thank you very much.
People, May 2nd, 2019 edition of Wild Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.